You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is their Christmas, January 6th, okay? They are going to take this and milk this for anything they could to try to be able to smear anyone who ever supported Donald Trump. And I just look back and compare when I was in Congress, what event that we faced was the attempted assassination of Republican members of Congress on the baseball game. I actually was on the field. This guy who was a big Bernie Sanders guy was definitely a politically motivated attack, came up, pulled his van, and we didn't think anything of it. We walked out to go to the car and we came in contact with him. He wanted to know if it was Republicans out there. We get in the car, leave, and then we find out he shoots up a bunch of people. And had you not had the Capitol Police there, you probably would have had a dozen people assassinated.
That was Ron DeSantis. This is January 7th, 2022. Governor Ron DeSantis. At the time, he was a member of Congress. He was talking about that shooting that took place on June 14th, 2017. I know you remember it. Despite the state-controlled media to just kind of, it's no big deal. You know why it was no big deal, really? Because it wasn't a Trump supporter going after Democrats. In fact, it was a Democrat, in this case a Bernie supporter, those progressives, going after Republican members of Congress, trying to kill them. Later in the next 2 hours, Ron DeSantis, we're going to break that story down in more detail. He did admit, I talked to the shooter, he said it's kind of a strange encounter. We'll have more details on that later. But his point is made, that the shooting that targeted Republicans practicing for that joint baseball game with the Democrats were targeted because they were Republicans. Several shot before the gunman was killed. But again, the coverage of that story compared to what we see with the, quote, riot, or as they want to say, insurrection at the Capitol. Only one shot fired, and that was a guard inside the Capitol shooting Ashley Babbitt as she was trying to crawl through a window into the chamber where the chamber was supposedly secure until they broke the glass, and the officer having no idea what her intent was if she got inside. But yesterday, Ron DeSantis is right. That was their Christmas. It was the Christmas for the Democrats. Today is the day after Christmas when you look and the tree is barren. There's nothing under it. No presents, no bright, shiny objects anymore. Their wrapping papers all been gathered up, maybe already in a garbage bag or headed to the garbage bag. The kids are maybe playing with the toys, or maybe they're playing with the boxes the toys came in. The adults are on to something else, maybe looking at credit card bills, figuring out how are we going to pay off this Christmas, still trying to revive ourselves from last Christmas, and the economy not getting any better at that point. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into the fact that I thought we were supposed to follow the science. Damn it, every time we're told follow the science, you watch the Democrats and the progressives. They're not following the science. Maybe they don't know how to spell science. Maybe they're looking up the wrong word. No, really, they do know. There's medical science. There's political science. And there's political BS. So we've got Chicago school union labor leaders saying, nope, not going to go back to school. Too dangerous, too dangerous. LA, some of the LA teachers doing the same thing or in the California area. And science says the kids are not at risk. They don't need to wear a mask. It's already hurt them. It's hurt them enough. $130 billion was allocated to schools to help during this pandemic. Where'd all that money go? And today, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, is hearing oral arguments for the Biden Department of Justice arguing for the right to mandate vaccines to private companies that have more than 100 employees. We're not going to see a ruling today, but we're watching that story for you. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I believe schools should remain open. You know, they have what they need. Because of the American Rescue Plan, we provided the states with $130 billion, with a B, billion dollars to specifically keep our students safe and schools open.
$130 billion, according to President Biden, went to the schools to keep them open. $130 billion to make sure that it was safe to keep them open. And they were opened. And some are still open, and more would be open, except for those who don't want to have school right now. They don't want to do that. They want to do what they want to do. And then specifically, I'm talking about the labor unions. See, out of this money that went into the schools, this $130 billion, the teachers that are in control of the unions, they were teachers at one time. Now they are many dictators. And they're followed by teachers, some willingly. Get us more. And others, I'm in the bunch. I got to walk with them. And others, how do I get out of this and maintain my job? Because they're being forced into a position they don't like. By that, we're talking about the fact that they know there's no science that says the school should be closed at this point. They know that. That's fully documented. They know that. But yet they're still not doing it? Why would they not be doing it? Well, because actually they think we're going to end up winning if we just hold out longer and longer. Chicago schools, the third largest in the nation. And the union leaders deciding, because of COVID, fear of COVID, fear of the new Omicron that is spreading so fast, they're closing down. But I could pick on Chicago, and I will a lot, but there are other parts of the story that still need to be fleshed out. But let's deal with Chicago for just a moment. But again, I mean, it's not the only one in the nation. But even Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Blue City Mayor, has made it clear in a statement she made yesterday, there's no reason for our schools to be closed.
What we should not be doing is allowing CTU leadership to shut down an entire school system. For what? When our district was fully remote, our children suffered. There's no disputing that reality. We should not be politicizing the pandemic. That is a mistake and ultimately hurts our children and families.
It does. It hurts the children in the sense of, as I played the other day for you, Governor Hochul, the new governor of New York State, after he got rid of that slimeball Cuomo, Governor Hochul, still a Democrat, came out and acknowledged there's no science. There's no science. We don't need any more reports, more investigations to verify we have hurt our children with these closings. We have hurt them. We have kept them out of school. We have put fear into them. She put in the sense that even parents can see it in the eyes of their children. You've got your kids, they have to go to school, you got to put the mask on. If they got to ride a bus, you got to put the mask on. You got to keep it on, you got to wear it all the time on the bus. You get off the bus, you got to keep it on. You go in the cafeteria, you can lift it briefly to take a sip or a bite and put it back on. You think these kids aren't already learning without understanding the word dictatorship? Learning dictatorship? Mike, my board operator in the other room said he put his mask on. You're the only one in there, Mike. Maybe my voice is coming through the headphones and causing you to get COVID. Oh, my God. That just scared the hell out of me. What if my voice, by the very fact those of you listening to me over the airwaves, are going to be stricken with this latest strain of COVID? But it is not just Chicago. Nassau schools closed Monday and Tuesday because of COVID-19 related absences. Now, by absences, if they don't have enough teachers, that's a reason they're going to have to close. If they close because not enough kids were showing up, well, they still are kind of in a sticker, aren't they? The letter to the staff and the parents, the superintendent said, we're dealing with a high number of staff. Look at the surprise here. Look at the surprise on my face. We're dealing with a high number of staff absences, many related to COVID-19. Nearly 200 absences Thursday, the preceding week. Now, look, the kids might, in fact, oh, by the way, the kids were due back in school the next day, which was an early release day. So they go to school for a shorter period of time. Why don't you just cancel that day? But they didn't. And if you have these symptoms of COVID, as they're being described now, you probably should separate yourself. And some of these teachers may well be taking the precautions they think is good for themselves and their students. So I'm not complaining if they're actually doing it for that reason. Bay Area schools closing due to staff shortages. High cases of, they call it just simply COVID. They're no longer making a distinction. Have you noticed that between COVID as we knew it, COVID-19 from Wuhan, China, as it was originally described, then mutated into Delta, which in turn mutated into Omicron, but they lumped them all together. When they say someone has COVID, well, I don't know what they mean. Do you mean they have the original COVID? Do they have the Delta variant? Do they have the Omicron? The Omicron is faster spreading, but less dangerous by far, even without a vaccine. Now, again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You do what you need to do for you and your family based upon those who know your health record. But it's not just Chicago closing the schools, as I said. Now, let me share a couple things here with you. First, let's go to a piece by Vox briefly. Vox reporting that schools in Cleveland, Ohio will be remote for the, you know, much of January at this point. St. Charles, or rather Charles County, Maryland, Reading, Pennsylvania, so forth. The Chicago public schools, as we said, have closed. All told, at least 4,500 schools across the nation closing their buildings for one or more days so far, and more going, they're not being fully counted yet, but there will be more showing up. Some of it has to do with, well, if they rely on transit lines, maybe those buses aren't running as they should because their staff is out. They have a fever, a cold, sniffles. Yeah, you could spread it. But, I mean, don't you deal with that every year with a cold or a fever or sniffles of some type? But, again, back to Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, her area of jurisdiction. She knows. She knows the game that's being played. And she also knows she's putting her future career at risk in standing up against the teachers. Now, I'm not going to make her out to be some brave person, but in this case, she is giving them a good reason to sharpen the knives and find someone to replace her the next time around because of this one issue. It'll be a one-issue campaign. She forced our schools to stay open or insisted that they were. She argued against union leadership and blamed us for obscene things like we were staying out because we wanted money. And yes, we do want money, and we want money even if we're not there. We want to be fully paid. But we like remote learning, staying at home, doing whatever we want, just kind of peeking in occasionally on the kids in the class via remote learning. I kind of like that. Well, I like that too. Yeah, I can do that. I can do this program from home without ever coming down here. But I want to be here. I want to be on top of everything. I'm just not very good at delegating. So Lightfoot is very firm in her statement that the unions trying to control the schools and shut them down are wrong. Lori Lightfoot absolutely says it's wrong. Schools should be open.
What we should not be doing is allowing CTU leadership to shut down an entire school system. For what? When our district was fully remote, our children suffered. There's no disputing that reality. We should not be politicizing the pandemic. That is a mistake and ultimately hurts our children and families.
And you know who first began politicizing the pandemic? The Democrats. When it first hit our shore and Trump was relying upon Dr. Fake at that time, who said, not going to be a big deal, nothing more than the flu. Trump comes out and says that. He gets mocked by the state-controlled media and other Democrats. Then we realize it could get worse. He shuts down air flights from China. He gets mocked again and characterized once again as being xenophobic. And when he says we can keep our schools open, he gets mocked again, saying we need to protect the kids. You just heard Lori Lightfoot say the same thing that New York Governor Hochul did the other day. We are hurting our kids by continuing locking them down and scaring them like this. I'm looking at a piece written on the Hill today. It points out that in 2019, just under 12% of young people, 18 to 24 years of age, had serious thoughts at suicide. 20% in 2019. In 2020, post-pandemic, supposedly, 25% of the same age have had serious thoughts of suicide. I worry about them seriously thinking about it, but then when you actually begin to move to those cases who actually carried them out, we'll compare it to this. About 1,700 young Americans ages 18 to 24 have died of COVID. Not died with COVID, they died of COVID. Most likely the original, but it's not broken out at this point. Not in this article on the Hill. 1,700 young Americans, 18 to 24. What a tragic loss for our nation, for those families. That's in the 2 years since the pandemic began. And when you annualize it, six times as many have died of suicide. Six times as many. You want to just round it off? 1,600, 1,500, 1,700 actually. Every death means something. But if you round it off, you're still looking at 9,000 due to suicide. Biden is also in action in not doing things, as usual. Stand by.
Leaves are pretty until they start falling into your gutters. You really want to climb up a ladder, clean them out? That sounds like a project, a dangerous project. I have a motto. I don't do projects. You need K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Get a free estimate. Locally owned, KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
Waking, bun man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When President Trump was running in 2016, the number was 11 million here illegally. We are certain here in Arizona, as well as Texas and the other southwest border states, that they're going to shatter a record for illegal crossings that we know of this year, over 2 million. Think about that. One-fifth of the number we accepted as in the country illegally, albeit low, I would suspect, have crossed this year. Biden's derelict in his duty, a complete fail.
Dereliction in his duty, a complete fail. Now, those are the words you've been hearing, Reverend Donald Trump, when it comes to January 6th, and because he didn't stop what happened January 6th. Those remarks are aimed directly at Biden. And they're aimed at Biden by someone who would know what's happening behind the scenes, Major General Michael McGuire. Been with the National Guard. He was on with Stuart Varney. And what he is talking about, the Biden administration has yet to release a key report on immigration and customs enforcement arrest and deportations in fiscal year 2021, which was expected at the end of the year. Critics are saying they're stalling. They're holding back what could be politically damaging information for the administration. And if you don't think that's what they're doing, then give me a reason. That's exactly what they're doing. They don't want you to know how many got into this country. Oh, they're fine to let predictions be, it could be up to 2 million. And they're fine to tell you that we're sending several back, but they're not documenting and showing you all that because it's a lie. It's a big lie. And yet they're the ones who are constantly pointing out and saying, Trump and all of his people, they believe in a big lie that the election was stolen and not correct. Here's a big lie that you're going to have to live with, my friend. They're still flying overnight. I would say hundreds. It may not be hundreds overnight, but certainly dozens of illegals into different parts of the country. At last stop, some are being dropped off in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Pennsylvania. The annual report that normally contains data on the ICE enforcement operations and investigations throughout the fiscal year is just not there. In fact, the Washington Free Beacon now reporting it could be released at some other point, maybe, but it's still not very clear. They're holding it back, and they continue to hold it back, and I'm not the only one that's raising these questions. I mean, this is coming, as you heard from a moment ago, from Major General Michael McGuire. Once again.
On January 20th, when he was sworn in, the very first order he gave back when I was commanding general of the Guard was to zero out all the funding for the National Guard troops, stop construction on the wall, stop the surveillance package that was being put in the NACO sector here in Arizona. And I can tell you, this is an open borders situation. The temperature is rising in Yuma, in Pima County, all along the southwest border here in Arizona, and it is completely lawless.
Becoming completely lawless. See, when Trump was in office, they made clear how many arrests and removals happened. And it stated 92% of those were immigrants with criminal convictions or pending charges. Biden missing everything. Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you. But Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Come on in, I'll be close.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The reality is the danger is clear and present. The thing that is different about this anniversary, if you will, is we're not marking something that was in the past. We're marking something that continues. The big lie continues. The insurrection and the people who were involved with it are continuing to try to overturn the election of 2020 and to seed people that will do it in the future. So I think what the president did today was very important because we cannot ever forget how fragile our democracy is, how close we were to losing it, and how critically important it is right now in this moment that we protect it.
Well, I will have to agree that we want to protect our democracy. I'm not going to argue that point. Howsomever, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, Democrat of Washington, part of the Progressive Squad, she was talking to Wolf Blitzer on CNN's Situation Room and saying that what happened January 6th, I mean, that showed us how close we came to losing our democracy. She's entitled to the opinion. Of course, I'd argue against her. But I'm also entitled to my opinion, as you are. And it is my opinion we came also damn close to losing our democracy when Hillary Clinton teamed up with various members of our federal government, the CIA, the DOJ, the FBI, anyone else they could pull in to their little circle and say, go after Trump because there's been Russian collusion. In other words, in her opinion, he was not duly and properly elected. Did I not hear her say repeatedly when asked in debates, when she and Trump were on the stage, will you accept the will of the people? Why, yes, I would, because that's the way this country works. We vote, we tally the votes, and we accept the will of the people. But then, in that particular election, when it went to the Electoral College, she loses. And then she starts saying, well, see, now the people's vote doesn't count. That's what it does under the U.S. Constitution. So now you want to tell me the U.S. Constitution doesn't count. Right there is another effort to slowly dismantle this democracy. You want to claim that January 6th was evidence of it? And, of course, Yaya Paul saying it's all built upon a lie? It was a lie about Trump and Russian collusion, and they knew it, but they didn't do anything to stop it. They didn't do anything to challenge it, and they did everything they could to create another fire with it. And yet, Senator Chuck Schumer can stand on the floor of the Senate and say what happened on January 6th is all traceable to Trump pushing a lie and blaming him, of course, for what happened at the Capitol.
An insurrection, call it what it is, what it was. And it was fundamentally rooted in Donald Trump's big lie that the election of 2020 was illegitimate, in deep offense to the peaceful transfer of power. Indeed, in deep offense to the very notion of truth itself. And anyone who thinks that the origins of this insurrection are going away should just have listened a few moments ago when Donald Trump did it again, lying and lying and lying about the election. A clear reminder that the threat he and his lie remain to our nation.
He's referring to Trump yesterday, and that remark from Schumer was from yesterday, when Trump watched how they played out January 6th through their lens, and he said, it's the same old, same old. They're not going to be held accountable. That's not a lie. That's pretty accurate. What makes someone a liar versus someone who tells the truth? Well, that would be, what is that word? It starts with, let me see, I think it has, let me see, five letter, F, I think if it's singular, be four letter, I think it's five letter, I think it's F-A-C-T-S, facts. Are there any facts, have you seen any facts presented that Donald Trump incited, encouraged, and told people to go down to January 6th, on into the Capitol, battle police officers, go inside and vandalize, break, and threaten? You know why you don't see or hear that? Because I will guarantee you, if it existed, it would be in your face each and every day. It doesn't exist. And by the same token, I'll concede this. Trump can say all he wants about the election being stolen from him, and I have some doubts as to if it were truly accurate and free of fraud. I really doubt it was free of fraud. Now, whether or not there was enough in particular swing counties, districts, that would constitute an illegal election and overturn Biden? I don't know. And I know many of you still harbor those thoughts. I understand it. I'll sit down with you with a Jack and we can talk about it. But at the bottom of the day, I'm going to tell you, well, I'll continue talking as long as you're buying the Jack. Let me put it that way. But when we finish and you're out of money, or I decided I think I've had enough, I'm going to tell you the bottom line is you don't have facts to back your story up either. Oh, I know. I hear some of you are yelling and shouting at me and pounding on your car panel driving down the road, and people are looking like, well, they're going crazy over there. What are they doing? Well, they're listening to the truth. And the truth is, if you're going to support the truth, you have to have facts. Not made-up facts, not kind of half-fact, half-fiction, but actual facts. But let us not interfere with the attempt that is underway by the left going into January 6th now and continuing as long as they can use it as a hammer to break open a peanut.
You say the danger is still clear, that it's still present. Are things better or worse today than they were 1 year ago on January 6th?
Well, obviously, we're not in the middle of an insurrection today, but the reality of the former president continuing to be out there promoting the big lie, and the entire Republican Party, except for just a few courageous people. You know, I saw Liz Cheney on the floor and I hugged her and thanked her, because there are very few Republicans who are willing to even say that January 6th happened, that it was real, and that we need to get to the bottom of it. So by denying or diminishing what happened on January 6th, that is its own form of violence.
Yeah, because you simply won't buy it, then you're part of the violence again. You're never going to get out from under that. The day it went down, I said then, I've hammered it home. I've used the hammer against a peanut a few times also. What do you get? You get a mishmash. You can't pick a peanut and eat it out of that. You've mashed it all together. But I said it then, I'll repeat it every time. They are going to use January 6th over and over and over and over until finally it does just become noise. Noise. What they call sometimes white noise. It's there, but you don't even hear it anymore. It's like I would go into a restaurant with someone and would come out and she'd say, what did you think of the carpet they had in there? I didn't even notice they had carpet. You didn't see the carpet? No. Well, what about the drapes? I didn't see them. The fact is, there were drapes and carpet, but I didn't see them. But it becomes white noise and I just don't care after a while. But they're not going to let it go. And in fact, now Biden plans to start another lie. And I can say it's a lie because he will have no facts to back it up. I'll explain when we continue.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As I told you in the opening monologue today, we do have the Supreme Court today hearing oral arguments in this decision of whether Biden, the federal government, can enforce sweeping COVID-19 vaccine requirements affecting nearly 100 million workers in the civilian population. We're not even talking about federal. We're not talking about military. We're talking about any company that has 100 million employees. I'm sorry, has 100,000. Let me correct that again. I got so many zeros here. It's not on my paychecks. I know that. 10,000 employees. You want to go that one? You want to go lower? The reason I'm having some fun moving around on this, because whatever number they accept, and it is 100 employees, that's what the current proposal is. They will lower it if they get the opportunity. So those of you out there who have a company and you've got 85 employees, well, it won't affect me because we're not over 100. So we're not affected. Man, I add so far. Well, for 3 hours and 40 minutes now, the justices have been hearing oral arguments over these federal vaccine and testing rules for businesses with 100 employees or more. The enforcement of the policy, which was announced in November, you know, it's been on hold pending resolution in the high court. It also applies to healthcare workers at facilities receiving Medicare and Medicaid funding. That has been put aside right now. They're just focusing on this issue that the Department of Labor, Occupation Safety and Health Administration was to move forward with a mask mandate to go into effect January 7th. The testing mandate to kick in next month, the 9th of next month. And OSHA has admitted, well, we're not going to impose fines on businesses that don't comply before late Feb. But the question is it constitutional? There's that little thing called the Constitution. According to the court watchers, and again, I'm not in the high court. I don't know. I don't watch it on a constant basis, so this is their opinion. In early arguments, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Gorsuch suggested government officials had overstepped. Roberts declaring that it is, quote, hard to argue, end of quote, that they have been given this kind of power to act by Congress. Justice Brett Kavanaugh also noting Congress had yet to pass any type of vaccine statute. And in fact, Chief Justice John Roberts said, this is something the federal government has never done before. Justice Amy Coney Barrett suggesting one of the issues in her mind, one of the problems with the rule, the broad scope. And Justice Clarence Thomas suggesting the federal government might have greater powers during the pandemic. He suggested they might, but right now they don't. I mean, he didn't say it, and yet he did. Liberal justices on the bench made it clear that they would back federal mandates as applied to larger businesses. Larger businesses, as I said, 100 employees or more. Justice Kagan said, the Biden administration has shown, quote, quite clearly there is not another policy that will prevent sickness and death to anywhere the degree that this one will. And Justice Breyer also said he found it unbelievable they could be in the public interest to put vaccine mandate for employees on hold as the Omicron rages across the nation. Riddle me this. How many have died from Omicron? I'm sorry, how many? It's still one. One. A Texas man who had had COVID previously, not vaccinated, in his 50s, not in great health, had other conditions. He got Omicron and he died. Whether or not he died of Omicron, they don't care. At least they're putting it down category deaths under Omicron. One. Under COVID and the Delta variant, 800,000. So the court will take time, and they're going to try to be, they say they're going to expedite get a ruling out fast because of the situation. And yet we've got more pills, more vaccines coming out, more evidence they work. Really, you might end up with the whole thing is moot. Wait till the second hour, though. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.